You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Four-year-old daughter. We're just lying on the back of the backyard on our trampoline, having a conversation. And Matilda says to me, "Daddy, where does Santa live?" And at that point, I quickly said to Matilda, "Tilly, Santa's not real. Jesus is why we celebrate Christmas." And I know you're probably thinking, well, Ben, you're a bit of a killjoy. You know, you like to burst a bubble, at least give her a few more years of believing there's a Santa. But, you know, I was so surprised when my daughter said to me, "Yeah, I know Santa's not real." And I'm like, wow, I've done something right with parenting right there. That my daughter actually said to me, "Santa's not real." And I think it's probably because that every time we go to the shopping center, there's always a Santa. And there's some really good Santas and some not so good Santa, right? And we all know those Santa, all they want to do is make a bit of money from mom and dad. They want you to take a photo with them and charge you an arm and a leg to get those photo prints, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad that my daughter knows that Santa's not real and Christmas is all about Jesus. And then she said to me, "No, Daddy, I want to know, where does the real Santa live?" And I kind of said, okay, let's not burst the bubble. Let's not kill her joy. Let her think that there's a real Santa. But isn't it true that Christmas, depending on who we are, take on different meaning? Is that right? For some of us, Christmas is when we hold onto those family traditions. We like to gather and have a barbecue and enjoy that big Christmas meal with our family and friends. For some, it's when we love to buy gifts. We love to give out presents. It's when we love to maybe watch to see our children open up their Christmas present and enjoy playing with their new toy. Or it's when we look forward to go down south and enjoy the beautiful southwest. Can't wait to take the little break between Christmas and New Year's. Or it's when we go to church. So depending on who we are, I think Christmas takes on a different meaning. But I guess you and I can agree that the reality with Christmas is that it's more than Santa, right? It's more than the presents. It's more than the holidays. And it's more than the Christmas service. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you're a Christian or not, deep down, Christmas finds its origin in Christ. It's about Jesus. And it could be because every time we go and look at the Christmas decorations, we see elements of Jesus. We may see Mary. We may see Joseph. We may see decorations of the angels or the wise men. But usually there's a decoration of baby Jesus. Or maybe it's the Christmas card that you receive. As you look at the Christmas card, there's usually something about Jesus. Is that right? Baby Jesus there in a manger. Or maybe this time of the year when we listen to those Christmas carols, all those Christmas carols that we sing, most of those carols will be about Jesus. Silent Night, Hark the Herald Angel, Away in a Manger, it's all about Jesus. There's something about Christmas that finds its origin in Christ. Whether you believe in God or not, whether you are a Christian or not, you know that the origin is Jesus. No matter how hard we try to take out Jesus from the equation, no matter how hard we try to put Santa at the very top and push Jesus down, we know that Christmas is all about Jesus. A baby born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. So what I want to do this morning is I want to go back and look at the very first Christmas some 2,000 years ago. I want to look into the Bible because I really believe that the Bible gives us a very good account of this birth of Jesus. So if you have your Bible, what I want you to do is turn with me to the very first book of the New Testament. The very first book is the book of Matthew. At the very first chapter, I want to read to you the birth of Jesus. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. The passage is on the screen behind me. Let me read the Word of God. And this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we stop there. That's the very first account of the birth of Jesus. As I was reading this during the week, I noticed two very interesting things about this particular passage. The first thing is in verse 21. Go with me again to verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Christmas reminds us Jesus will save us from our sin. That's the first thing we see right there. The second thing I see that's very interesting is in verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas reminds us that God chooses to be with us. Those two things, Jesus saves, God with us, also highlights two implications. Here's the first one, that we need saving. Here's the second one, that we are far from God. You notice that? I mean, let's think about that. When was the last time you tried to save someone at the local swimming pool? You jumped in to rescue someone. You thought they were drowning. In fact, they weren't drowning. They were practicing their, I don't know, scuba diving technique. Have you done that before? Hashtag awkward, right? I mean, the reality is that you only save someone if they're in danger. You only need a savior if you need saving. Is that right? If you don't need saving, there's no need for a savior. And the Bible would say here that Jesus would save us, which implies that we all need saving. This time last year, one of my sons was on a kayak, and he and his mate was on this little kayak, and they thought it would be a great idea to paddle with the kayak out to the open sea. I mean, he's never been on a kayak before. He thought it was a great idea. So that's what he did. He paddled out far, and then I'm on the shore looking after my daughter. And I noticed that there's these two little boys quite some distance from the shore. I realized, yep, that's one of my boys. And then I realized that as they were trying to paddle back to shore, they couldn't. They were caught in some kind of undercurrent rip that kept taking them further and further out. And I could see by their facial expression they were in trouble. So me, being the loving father, had to do what I had to do. I thought, that's it, I've got to save my son and his friend. The Baywatch theme song started playing through my mind. I took off my shirt. I felt like I was the Asian David Hasselhoff. Ran in, swam out to the boys. It took me around 15, 20 minutes because I'm not a great swimmer. But you know what? I had to rescue these boys. I finally get to them and I thought, this is what I'll do. I'll grab hold of the kayak and I'll tow them back. That's what I'll do. I'm strong. I'm stronger than the current. I'm stronger than the rip. I'm going to tow them back and I'm going to be the hero of the day. Well, anyhow, I tried and I tried and I realized it ain't working. I got to the point where I realized that that Baywatch theme song was no longer being played. But now it's Gilligan's Island. That we're being drifted our way out somewhere to some deserted island. And I'm now really scared. I kid you not, I'm trying to be brave for these two boys because I didn't want them to realize that, yep, the old man is afraid. And I'm thinking about this church. I'm thinking about you all at this point in time. Don't laugh. This is true. This was last year, this time last year. I was thinking about who's going to take over Sun Life Church. Who's going to care for the people here? I'm a goner now. And at this point in time, I've realized that I'm taking in more water than air. Because I'm literally, I kid you not, I'm literally swallowing water and I'm was very scared. Suddenly, I kid you not, by the grace of God, out of nowhere, this dinghy comes by, a couple. The lady said to me, "Are you okay?" I didn't have to say anything. I think she could tell by my facial expression that this Asian guy is going to drown any minute now. So she threw a rope that we were tied to the kayaks, and then she towed us in with her husband, and here I am, holding to my dear life at the back of the kayak, and we get in. I tell you that story to let you know that there was a point this time last year when I was so close to Jesus. Probably one more breath, I would have been close to Jesus. I needed rescuing. I did. I needed someone to save me. And when Jesus said that I came to save, the implication is that we needed saving. That's what the Bible says right here. That He would come to save us because it implies that we need saving. You read your Bible and there are so many verses that says Jesus came to save. So for example, John 12:46-47. Jesus says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my word and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to what? Save the world." Jesus came to save the world. John 3:17, not 16, the one that most of us know, but the verse later, 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world through him." Christmas reminds us that we all need a savior. We all need someone to save us. And that savior was born in Bethlehem. And that savior's name is Jesus. That's the implication of the very beginning of the book of Matthew. And I love it how it's at the very beginning. Because if you can't wrap your head around that, like if you read Matthew chapter 1 and you go, "Well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe I need saving. I'm okay. I can save myself." Then really there's no point reading the rest of Matthew. He puts it at the very beginning to say, if you need saving, if you realize that you're in trouble and you are drowning out at sea and all you can do is just raise your hand so that someone would save you, then read the rest of this book. He came to save us because it implies we need saving. We need a savior to save us. And you're saying, "Well, save us from what?" Well, if you remember in verse 21, "Save us from our sin." You know, sin is this thing where as sinners, we can never pay the debt of sin. Sin is something that you and I can never pay. In fact, the Bible would say that the reward of sin or the wages of sin is death. And the only way for us to overcome sin is through the Savior. I mean, maybe for some of us, you're new here. You go, "Well, Ben, I don't believe in a sin. I don't know what you're talking about. What is a sin?" Well, I like to teach sin as being one of two things. It's either doing the things we shouldn't do, doing the things we shouldn't do. Like, you know, you're on the freeway and that old lady, she's driving a bit slow. So you just speed up right next to her. You wind down your window. You stare at her. You give her the clenched fist. You know you shouldn't do that, but you do it anyway. I know you've done that before. Maybe not the clenched fist, but the staring. That's a sin. The Bible is very clear. Doing things we shouldn't do. You shouldn't touch your phone when you're driving. It's $1,000, but it's also a sin. I mean, what's happening on social media is important, but you should not touch your phone. Jesus, that's a sin. But then the Bible also says that it's not doing the things you should do. Not doing the things you should do. Maybe there's someone there, homeless, very hungry, needing a feed. You know you should sit and have a chat with that person. You know you should maybe buy that person a meal. You know you should give that person a drink, but you don't. See, that's a sin. I don't know about you, but I can say honestly that I'm a sinner, that I've done a lot of bad things. And I'm talking this morning, yesterday, I've done a lot of things. And there's nothing good in me. I'm pretty sure that every one of us here, if we think about things that we should do that we don't do, and things that we shouldn't do but we end up doing, there's a lot of things that we've done that we go, wow, that's not good. And that's a sin. And the Bible is very clear that you commit one sin, you can never repay that. You commit one sin, you're in trouble. And you need a Savior. I love the gospel because the gospel tells me that I am not to depend upon my own self. I would never ever make it to heaven, right, if I were to depend upon myself because I keep failing. And you and I, we keep failing. But the good news is that God says, I come to forgive. I come to take away your sins. I come to save you from your sins. I come to do what you cannot do, which is to forgive you and say it's okay. That's the gospel. And what we see right here, that Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, is that God would come to save. I don't know where you are at. I don't know whether you're someone who's still trying to go, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. I think if I was to stand before God, I'm all right. I'm not like that bad person down the road. I'm not like that bad person that I read in the newspaper. Really? I don't know. I think every one of us, if we were to stand before God, we're all in trouble. But the good news is this. Jesus says, I come to do what? To save the world from the sin. That's the spirit of Christmas. And that's why he came. Don't put your trust in yourself. Don't put your trust in the church. Don't put your trust in your pastor. Put your trust in the one who saves. And that's Jesus. Amen. I love it how the Apostle Peter says this in Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If you know your Bible, that name is who? Jesus. He comes to save. That's the first implication. We all need saving from sin. And the good news is that Jesus offers that salvation. Here's the second implication in verse 23. Let's go back to verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us implies that we are what? Far from God. Is that right? God with us implies that we are far from God. You know what I've learned through this year with COVID? What I've learned during COVID is this, is that when you are separated from people you love, whether it's people from the other side of the country with those hard borders, when you are separated from people that you love, there's this longing to be with them. Is that right? You desire to be next to them. Like you would give up anything just to have a meal with them, just to touch them, just to greet them. COVID has really highlighted the fact that we need one another. We are long to be with each other. And the Bible says this, is that we are so far from God and God loves us that God wants to be with us. I remember 7 years ago, at this church here, we had an Easter egg hunt. And I'm on stage and I'm giving instructions to the kids. There would have been around 200 kids. Just to tell them where they can look for the eggs. And where we were having this particular egg hunt, there was a lake. And I said to the kids, there's no Easter egg hidden near the lake. Don't go near the lake. And down in the crowd, my wife, Tran, was there. And she's looking at me. And she's speaking to me through her two eyes. Like you've had that experience before where like your spouse can speak to you just with her eyeballs. Yep. I'm on stage and I'm trying to give kids instruction and Tran is telling me with her eyes, I can't find one of the boys. I'm communicating to Tran, that's your problem. She goes, no, that's our problem. I said, you're right. And I'm now frantically trying to find one of my boys who I realize is not in the crowd. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I've lost him. There's a lake around the corner. He would have been only around 3 years old. and I'm now panicking. I quickly wrap up what I have to say to give these kids instruction. I jump off the stage and I go running looking for my boy. I find him. I eventually find him. He was near the lake. I said to him, what are you doing? Like, don't you know it's dangerous? Don't you know that I've asked all the kids to come near the stage so I can give them instruction? And he said to me, well, yeah, I know that. And I'm like, Anne, what are you doing? Because I thought I'll have a head start. Let all the kids listen to you. I'll just wander back and I'll look at the eggs first and have a head start. And he actually did have a lot of eggs on him. You know? Smart boy. Smart boy. But here's my point. The reality is that when you are away from someone you love, you care for them, you miss them, you long for them. The Bible is very clear that we're so far from God, we can't reach God. It is impossible for us to reach God. We can do nothing to get to God. No matter how we try, you and I can never get to God. But the good news is that God would reach down for us. You know that? The good news is God came for us. The good news is that that first Christmas, God says, no, I'm not waiting for you to reach to me. I'm not waiting for you to get your act together because I know it's impossible. I'm going to do all the hard work to get to you. That's the good news. That's the meaning of Christmas. That's why we celebrate Jesus. God is not waiting for us to get to him. That gap is too far. It is impossible. God is not saying, I'll keep waiting. No, no, no. I'm going to come down. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to meet you where you are at. God with us implies that we are far from God. So God would say, I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm coming down. And what I love about the gospel is this, people, is that God came not to judge, not to condemn, but to love, to accept, to forgive. He didn't want us to serve him. He came to serve us. In fact, I love what Mark 10:45 says. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Christmas reminds us that we're far from God, that God would come down to reach us, to meet us where we're at. Peter says this in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. God is bringing us to him. That's Christmas. I know that for some of you, you are here because someone invited you along. I know for some of you, you're here because it's Christmas. Thank you for being here. But I want to remind you this morning of the two implications of Christmas. Number one, we need saving. We're all in need of a savior. Sin is going to drag us down. Jesus says, I am that savior. I offer salvation. I offer you hope. Second implication, you're far from God. We're all far from God. We can never reach God. We can do nothing to be near God. But yet God says, I choose to be near you. I am with you. I will come down and meet you where you are at. I will come down and love you, embrace you, forgive you, call you home. And the Bible is very clear that Christmas is all about God being with us so that we can be in relationship with him. I want you to remember that, Sun Life Church. It's more than the presents. It's more than Santa. It's more than the meals. It's more than the holidays. It's about a God who solved two problems. The problem of sin and the problem of separation. That he would come to save us and he would come to reconcile us. He brings us back to him so that we can be with him forevermore. I pray and hope that you would leave this place here loving Jesus more. I also pray and hope that you will leave this place taking a step closer to Jesus. And for those who may not know Jesus yet, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, that Jesus cares for you. He's offering you a new life. He wants to save you. He wants to reconcile you to the Father. That's the spirit of Christmas. That's the true meaning of Christmas. And that's the gift that God offers to humanity. Let me pray for us. I want to just spend this time for you to reflect on what I shared. The two implications. We all need saving. And we're all far from God. I don't know whether this morning, for some of us, you're like saying, yeah, Ben, I really have messed up. I've really messed up. I need forgiveness. I need saving. Or you're like, I'm so far from God. I am so far. I'm so glad I came here. I'm so glad that you would remind me that God loves me and God is not waiting for me to be perfect, that I don't have to reach God, but God would go down and reach me. If that is you, all eyes closed now. I want to pray for you.